Well, if you tune in to Channel 7 Sydney News Bulletin tonight, you'll notice a fresh face on your screens. Award-winning reporter Michael Usher jumping back behind the news desk on Friday and Saturday nights. He'll also be involved in a new 7 News Investigates series. I want to catch up with him as he starts his new stint tonight. Usher, good afternoon.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm very, very well. Are you excited?
Oh, I am excited. I've been nervous for most of the week, believe it or not. All the things you do, and then I get nervous sort of, you know, it's like going to a new school, you know.
Yeah.
But it's good fun. Looking forward to tonight, very much so.
You've had a few rehearsals in front of the audio queue. And
sat on the desk, got a bit comfortable, understood the mechanics. Yeah, we're getting there.
Very, very different to all the pre-recorded material you've done for many years at 60 Minutes.
It's a huge change of pace, and it's a funny one. I mean, I've spent, you know, all that time at 60 working, you know, months on a story, one person to interview, you know, really immersing yourself in that subject. And now we're back in the cut and thrust, which I did before I joined 60. So it's a, someone described it as going from Tai Chi to black belt karate again. So smarten up and get faster.
So was it Seven's approach to you that made you leave Nine, or was it you putting feelers out, or was it just time?
You know, it's one of those things that rarely happens in what we do, Chris. It was good timing. I spent last Christmas having a think about the year ahead. I think, as you know, I've got, you know, 3 young kids that have put up with Dad being away, travelling for 6-7 months of the year, and I thought this year I've got to change that. There's got to be a bit of change. And then Seven approached and started talking, and they came up with a, you know, a pretty good offer. So it collided at the right time. I was of the mood to change, so it worked well.
And in some ways, with what happened in Beirut at 60 Minutes, the shine has come off the show marginally. I think it'll return, but at the moment they've got some work to do to get that loyalty back.
Everyone knows it's been a really tough year on 60, and it was very hard for all of us working in there. Look, I was on the side of things where we just went, you know, head down, bum up, and still had to continue on with the stories. Yep. As you know, on that show, it takes a long time to get them going. So, you know, the executives had to deal with the problems, and we just got working, and it's a rebuild. But I've still got very good friends there, and it's still a part of my family DNA, so they can do it.
Yeah. Now, you've been across the news, no doubt, today. You've probably had a say in some of the meetings today as well. Bob Dylan, firstly, are you a fan of Bob Dylan's, Michael?
Straight up, mate, no. Sorry. I know people are going to punch me here, but no. No, I'm not. Look, I went to one of his concerts a couple of years ago in America. I couldn't understand him, and most of the people around me fell asleep. All right?
But for literature.
Well, here's the point. I've been thinking about this. How many HSC kids this week in their literature exams are being tested on Bob Dylan right now?
Yes. Wiggle, wiggle, until the moon sees you. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle in your boots and shoes.
Well, let's be honest about it. This is the Nobel group, right, who just gave the peace prize to the Colombian president whose peace deal failed and fell over.
Right.
So what path are we on?
What do we expect? Now, the other big story, one which I noticed The Australian doing some significant work on today, Mike Baird, having backflipped on shark nets, as we know, greyhounds initially. But we're hearing today about his chief shark advisor. What shark advisor would tell the Premier, oh, sharks are timid. Premier, don't put up a net. You'll probably get yourself a dolphin or two. Sharks are timid. They don't really hurt people.
I reckon Paul de Gelder might have an issue with that opinion. You know, who's a brilliant bloke, but a Navy diver who lost an arm and a leg in the harbour
In Sydney Harbour, exactly. Bull sharks, tiger sharks come to mind as extremely aggressive.
Look, they are, and look, I'll epitomise it. I've interviewed him a few times. Vic's a great defender of everything marine and everything in the ocean and our waterways. He loves sharks. He knows them inside out. But his views, which were a couple of years ago, we'll give him that, but they're a mismatch with the past couple of years of shark attacks, you know, in and around all Australian waterways for that matter.
Yeah.
And I mean, he knows the massive number of shark numbers that are out there right now and our interaction with them, you know. We do, and they're aggressive, and they're bad, and you know it's an out of step kind of view to be advising the government on that, I believe, anyway.
Yeah, I think so. And look, on top of all of that, I don't know whether you've seen the footage. It was released. I think it's been viral from around about midday today.
I've just seen that. It's extraordinary.
Incredible vision of the. Let me explain to our listeners, because I haven't raised it. But the shark, this cameraman is sitting in a wetsuit in a shark cage, and the shark, which looks like it's a monster, has pierced through the shark cage, has joined the cameraman in the cage. The bloke on the boat leans down to pick up the lid off the cage so the shark would get out and won't devour the cameraman. And the shark comes, you know, flying out of the cage to get out. It's just extraordinary footage.
Well, you don't expect the bloke in the cage to come out alive or in one piece.
No.
And if for anyone who sees the vision, we're going to run it tonight because it's amazing to see. He eventually pops out. You don't expect him to at all, but it's one of the more extraordinary pieces of vision I've seen in a while.
Yeah, you'll see that tonight on 7 News. Couple of quick things. What's the best story you've ever covered when you were doing your 60 Minutes reporting?
Oh, look, it was one of the adventure ones. I was lucky enough to take our crew and a whole lot of equipment. We trekked up to base camp at Mount Everest. And, you know, that's the luxury of working on a show like that. You've got some resources. It took us 10 days to get there. We stood there and did an amazing little story on the world's highest hospital. These really good people helping all those sort of mad men and women who choose to scale that bloody big mountain and come back down and we sat up there for about a week, and it was, you know, you're almost on top of the world there, just beneath Mount Everest, and it was extraordinary. It was just such a real great life experience and one of those lucky things to be able to do on a show like that.
The most frightening thing you've ever done?
Oh, it's the war zones, Chris. You know, you sound like an old dog when you keep saying, oh, the war zones. But, look, I did Iraq 3 or so times. I've been in, you know, where bad terrorist attacks have happened around the world, and they're the things that, you know, frighten the hell out of you. Rolling into Baghdad the day after it fell and having, you know, as the Iraqi army sort of got into civilian clothing and you're going down one street and they've all got RPGs and guns and we tried to leave and, you know, basically run away. It was terrifying in that time. So covering any of those war zones, always difficult, you know, but that's the, you know, the job we do, isn't it? Bad things happen, most people run away and we run toward it.
And there were one or two stories I remember that made you cry.
Look, I mean, there were, and most particularly the heartbreaking case of little William Tyrrell, which still, you know, gets me in the guts every time you think about it. That poor little boy, and speaking with his family, and, you know, it took them a long time, and as we know, there's legal difficulties around that story, to finally tell about their boy who's missing still, and, you know, the good cops who were trying to break that case, and I lost it in that because it's simply heartbreaking. You don't have to have children to be heartbroken over their loss. And to this day, I still think often every day they wake up not knowing what's happened to little William. And we've all got to keep him in mind. I know the police do day in, day out, that great team who are investigating that case. But, you know, that family needs peace and that little boy needs peace and dignity as well.
Yeah. Our national audience on the afternoon program will see you on the 7 News Investigate series, but our Sydney audience, lucky enough to see you on Friday and Saturday nights on Channel 7 at the desk. All the very best, mate, for the new venture.
No, you're too kind. Good on you, Chris. Nice talking.
Okay, from Channel 7, Michael Usher, just gone 1:30 in Sydney.